Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 19 of Madhya Lila, entitled The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, Rupa Shiksha, starting with text 198 up to 203. Translation and purpose are by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishnera Vishvarupa Deki Arjunera Haila Baya Sakya Bhave Darshtya Kshamapaya Kariya Vinaya. Krishner Vishvarupa Deki Arjuner Haila Baya. Sakya Bhave Darshtya Kshama Paya Koriya Vinaya. Krishner Vishvarupa Deki Arjuner Haila Baya. Sakya Bhave Darshtya Kshama Paya Koriya Vinaya. Krishner Vishvarupa Deki Arjuner Haila Baya. Sakya Bhave Darshtya Kshama Paya Koriya Vinaya. Bhave Darshtya Shama Paya Koriya Vinaya. Krishnera Vishvarupa Deki Arjunera Haila Baya. Sakya Bhave Darshtya Shama Paya Koriya Vinaya. Vaishnavis. Sakya Bhave Darshtya Kshama Paya Koriya Vinaya. Krishna means of Lord Krishna, Vishvarupa, the universal form, Deki, seeing, Arjuner, of Arjun, Haila Bhai, there was fear. Sakya Bhave, as a friend, Darshtya, impudence, Kshama Paya, begs pardon for Kariya, showing Vinaya submission. When Krishna manifested his universal form, Arjuna became reverent and fearful, and he begged forgiveness for his past imprudence toward Krishna as a friend. Now, the verses that Arjuna spoke are quoted by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of this sacred biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we are reading, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This quote is from Bhagavad Gita. Saketi madva prasabam yaduktam he Krishna he yadava he saketi ajanata mahimanam tavedam maya pramadat pranayena vapi yachavaka sartamasat kritosi vikara sayasana bhojaneshu eko tavapi achyuta tatsamaksham takshamayetvam mahamaprameyam. I have in the past addressed you as O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, without knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times while we were relaxing, lying on the same bed or eating together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. Please excuse me for all my offenses. Purpur. This is a quotation from Bhagavad Gita 11:41-42. In this verse, Arjuna is addressing Krishna, who was exhibiting his universal form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna yadi rukminire kaila parihasa Krishna chari bhena jani rukminir kaila trasa. Although Krishna was joking with Queen Rukmini, she was thinking that he was going to give up her company, and she was therefore shocked. Tasya sudukka bhajashokka vinashta bhuter hastachratat valayato vyajanam papata dihascha viklavadiya sahasaiva muyam rambe bhavata vihata pravikirya keshan. While Krishna was joking with Rukmini in Dwarka, she was full of distress, fear and lamentation. She had also lost her intelligence. She dropped her hand bangles and the fan she was using to fan the Lord. Her hair became disarrayed and she fainted and fell suddenly, appearing like a banana tree knocked down by high winds. Purpur. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-24 refers to Krishna speaking to Rukmini in his bedroom just to test her sincerity. He began to joke with her, presenting himself as poor, incapable, and unfit to be her lover. Not understanding that he was joking, Rukmini took him seriously and thought that he wanted to leave her company. This misunderstanding made her very unhappy, and her whole body was affected. Her fan and bangles fell to the floor, and she also fell down like a banana tree knocked down by high winds. Kevalara Shuddha Prema Aishwarya na jane, Aishwarya deki leo nija sambandha se mane. In the stage of Kevala, unalloyed devotion, a devotee does not consider the unlimited opulence of Krishna, even though he experiences it. He takes seriously only his own relationship with Krishna. Purport. When a devotee reaches the stage of pure and alloyed devotion, especially in friendship with Krishna, he forgets the Lord's opulences, although he sees them and he considers himself equal to Krishna. There is no question of actually comparing oneself to Krishna, but because the devotee is so advanced in Krishna consciousness, he is able to behave with Krishna as he would with an ordinary man. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam tam shrimat krishna chaitanya devam vande jagat gurum yasya anukampaya svapi mahabdi santaret sukam vanchakalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyae Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha. This is a very beautiful section of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Shiksha is the title of the chapter. It means instructions to Sri Rupa. And this is one of the most important chapters in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada wrote in the beginning the book entitled Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And in that book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, one full chapter is dedicated to this particular chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Srila Rupa Goswami. Here, the Lord is comparing the relationship with God under the principle or the realization of Aishvarya. Aishvarya means the opulence of the Lord, the greatness of the Lord, in comparison to the relationship with the Lord under the principle or the realization of Madhurya. Madhurya means divine sweetness. Madhu means sweet. Madhurya, divine sweetness, particularly this Madhurya in relationship with the Supreme Lord, with God. And Srila Kaviraj Goswami, referring to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught to Sri Rupa, is quoting different examples found in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we heard about two examples. So what were the examples we heard of? Rukmini Devi, Krishna's dear queen in Dwarka. So what happened to Rukmini Devi? Krishna was joking with her. Krishna was saying that what's the use of having me as a husband? I'm not a useful husband. I'd rather leave this place because I am a cheater. I'm always cheating and everyone, and I don't really have moral principles. And then he threatened Rukmini Devi, saying, I'm going to leave you. And she was so soft-hearted achieve a leaf. She took seriously Krishna's words. And then she became like it is described in this verse. Her bangles fell off. Her hands, you can imagine how distressed she must have been. Her chamara whisk, she was fanning Krishna, fell also to the floor. And not only what she was sustaining fell to the floor, but she herself fell down to the floor. And the example given is like a banana tree. When there is very strong winds, sometimes they uproot the trees. And it seems we don't have banana trees here in Belgium, so we cannot, nor even in Spain. We have to go to Canary Islands if we want to see banana trees. But in the holy places in India, in many places in India, there are banana trees, and therefore the example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the banana trees, or any other tree, may be uprooted by strong winds. Last winter we saw some trees, maybe not the full tree uprooted, but parts of the tree had been broken by the wind. So similarly, Rukmini Devi, she was uprooted by Krishna's words, which indicate that she could be separated from him even for a moment. What to speak of full separation, as he was indicating with his joking words. So this is one example. And what another example is given? Very good. So Sri Arjuna, she had a very close relationship with Krishna as a friend. But when he saw the universal form, his mood changed. When he saw Krishna's opulence, and he saw he didn't recognize him, and he even asked him, "Who are you?" He was familiar with an intimate aspect of Krishna. He wasn't familiar with that aspect he was showing, very fearful aspect. And to the point that he saw all the warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra entering into the mouths of the universal form. And they were being smashed by the teeth of the universal form. And an example is even in the Upanishads, like eating a meal. So it was as if the Lord was not non-vegetarian anymore. The Lord accepts only vegetarian foodstuffs. We shouldn't offer meat. But in that particular form, he wasn't vegetarian anymore. All the big kshatriyas were being eaten by the mouths of the Lord. And then Arjuna couldn't recognize him. Who are you? Who are you? And after that he asked forgiveness, as he explains in these verses. In the past I have addressed you as O Krishna, I calling by the name. You don't call someone very senior. You don't call someone very senior God by the name. That's the classical culture. Of course, now we are postmodern people and anything is possible. But in classical times, this will not be contemplated. You call the person as Master, Prabhu. Isn't it Prabhu, Swami, Father, Baba, Mata, Father, Mother? But we don't call by the name. But Arjuna was calling Krishna by the name. Here, of course, we should chant the holy name of God because this is his instruction. Krishna wants us to call him by the name. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that Sri Vallabhacharya, in one occasion, it's described in Chaitanya Lila, it happened like that. Sri Vallabhacharya questioned Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying, how is it that you are asking and promoting that we chant loudly the name of God? Because actually the Lord is Swami, is the Master. He shouldn't be called by the name. Like the wife, classically again, doesn't call the husband by the name. Calls him Prabhu or Swami in South India. Prabhu will be North India, Swami in South India. So, how is it that you call God by the name? Loudly. Without any shame. Everyone can listen how you are addressing God in such a familiar way. Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. And Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered that the order of the Lord is that we call him by the name. That is his order. Therefore, we are calling him by the name. We are chanting his holy name. So Arjuna, he was addressing Krishna by his name, not in this way because God ordered, but because he was his friend in a very you-to-you way of addressing him. And therefore he's asking forgiveness. O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, without knowing your glory, he says, please forgive whatever I have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times while we were relaxing, lying on the same bed, or eating together. Sometimes alone, and sometimes in front of many friends. Please excuse me for all my offenses. So, Arjuna's mood of intimacy was curtailed by the knowledge of the opulence of Krishna, particularly in relation to this material world. Also, in the case of Rukmini Devi, the question may appear, how is it that Rukmini Devi, what does this has to do? Like the Aishwarya of Rukmini Devi, we could say the gopis also fainted when they feared separation from Krishna. So why the example of Rukmini Devi is given? Any thoughts on that? Any reflections? Why the example of Rukmini Devi is given? Correct, very good, yes. So Rukmini Devi, her conjugal love for Krishna was, we could say, was, what's the English word? Covered, yes, was, I was looking for another one, but covered is a good word also. Was covered or mixed with Aishwarya. A feeling of, still, she had certain knowledge of Krishna's superior position. Like in the case of husband and wife, it was very, very classical, very reverential. As opposed to the gopis' love for Krishna in Vrindavan, where they would have not, they would have challenged him, they would have argued with him against him leaving. They did that when Krishna told them, go home. They said, forget it, we don't go home. They started arguing in a nice way, very, very cultured way, but they were arguing against him. Because their love was more intimate, was not covered by the idea that Krishna is supreme, Krishna is God. An example can be given in this world. In this world sometimes, take for example, someone who is a judge. A person who is a judge, he will be called your lordship in the court, isn't it? Your lordship. And you cannot call the judge by the name. Your lordship, you don't dare to, especially if you are being, you are on a trial. No. We're in a trial in the material world, so that's it's an appropriate example. We're in a trial, so we fear God. We call God, my Lord, God, please protect me, please help me. This is the condition of conditioned people, like most of us. We approach God with awe and reverence because we're fearful. Don't punish me, please. Please help me. Please take me out of jail. I am in this material world. The material world is like a jail. Please, my Lord, take me out of jail. But actually, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita reveal that Krishna prefers love which is not motivated by anything material, not motivated by fear. That's not a very good motivation, that someone offers you respect out of fear. Sometimes we sannyasi monks experience this. In India especially, you are there taking darshan with the danda in the back, and suddenly they do it out of respect. But there is sometimes this fear of committing offense. Someone, the temple is packed, and then suddenly they push away, they see the stick, and they push away, pushing away the living space. It's done, of course, out of respect. But sometimes this is not so pleasing. Like, it's formal respect is good. That's we should do that from our conditioned state for advancing Krishna consciousness. But it is better experience when the relationship is personal and it's a person-to-person relationship. That's better. Doesn't mean we reject the, we put aside the respectful and service attitude, but it's much more relishable. So this is what Krishna is, in the case of the judge, going back to the example of the judge. The judge is there on the in the court, and of course he's playing his, he's doing his job, and being formal when has to be formal. And he's doing it, punishing some people, rewarding other people. But when he arrives at home, in the old days in Britain, they had this week, I don't know if they do it still. They still use them? Yeah? Still they use it, yeah? So they use this special hair, like it's like saying, I'm the judge. There is a difference. I'm the judge. I can send you to jail. I can reward you. That's the implied meaning. It's kind of unconscious. It's like symbolic. It's symbolic, but that's a symbolism. I mean, I don't know the details why they started to wear this form. Maybe you read Shakespeare. You must know. So the situation is that a difference is mentioned. But when he reaches home, he will not address his wife in this way. Will he? If his wife starts telling him, your lordship, he will think you are joking. Are you kidding? Isn't it? You will be a joke. Will be taken as a joke. He will prefer a more intimate exchange. The rasa, the relationship, is more intimate, and that will be preferred than the relationships he experiences in the court. So, something like that. Of course, these are all material examples, and the material examples always will fall short to properly, to fully and properly illustrate what the Lord experiences. But it gives us an idea of how it is for the Lord. And the Lord, he prefers exchanges like the one we see in the picture, where his friends are dealing with him as if they are at the same level. They are telling him, open your mouth, I'm going to give you a sweet. And please tell us, what type of sweet is this? Srimati Radharani has given us some sweet balls for you. Please open your mouth and ascertain which type of sweet ball is that. So he opens his mouth, and what do they offer? They offer a flower. They offer a flower, probably, of course, in Goloka Vrindavan the flowers are sweet also, but not as sweet as Srimati Radharani's sweets. So therefore, for Krishna, this is, when he tastes that flower, it's not so pleasing. But he's enjoying very much these joking exchanges, much more than the prayers of the Upanishads. In the Upanishads, all the great sages, they start chanting different mantras. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadapashyanti Surayo Divivachakshura Tatam, and so on. The Rig Veda mantras. He likes that. He likes these offerings are accepted by the Lord. Akila Rasa Amrita Murti. He enjoys all the different rasas. But he enjoys better the intimate relationships of sweetness. When his devotees see him as a friend, as a son, like when Mother Yashoda sees him as a little child, he prefers that. When Mother Yashoda sees the universal form, I think you read that in previous weeks, the universal form within Krishna's mouth, his little baby Krishna, Mother Yashoda sees the whole universe within the mouth of her child. Can you imagine? How is that possible? You have a little baby, and then you feed him with milk, and suddenly you see the complete universe within the mouth. Three-dimensional, not only three-dimensional, fourth-dimensional, all the dimensions are there. You enter, it's like, you can do a film like that, like, this, know that there is good technology, enter into the mouth. You see the whole universe in the mouth. And you see yourself feeding your little baby, Krishna, in the mouth. How do you feel? So, the Mother Yashoda actually, what did she do, Mother Yashoda, when this happened? What did she do? Those of you who read this chapter of Krishna book, how did she react? Did she ignore it in the beginning? She was confused. Yes, this was the way the inhabitants of Vrindavan will argue, my child must be a demigod. And in this particular case, she argued in different way. What did she start doing? She started to offer prayers, actually. Offer prayers to the Supreme, not to his child, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy I think I am the queen of Vrindavan, and that Krishna is my child. And she was philosophizing. So much Sankhya philosophy was there. Sankhya, yoga, Aishwarya bhakti, bhakti with awe and reverence. And then little Krishna, he didn't say, but the way he reacted was as if saying, stop this nonsense. Give me milk. Because it is described in Bhagavatam that the yoga maya, potency of Krishna, the most intimate yoga maya potency, covered Yashoda Mayi again. And then she forgot this, and her love for Krishna came back with full strength. And like it's like we are here. This is called I know in Spanish, but the Netherlands is the lower countries. They say lower, say like that. Netherlands, lower land under the sea, and there are these big dikes to prevent the sea to come in. So this Aishwarya reverence, awe and reverence for God, many times they act like dikes which prevent the ocean of divine sweetness entering into the land of the heart of the devotee. But sometimes it happens. Every now and then, the sea gets fed up and says, okay, I go in. You think you are stronger than me? Forget it. I break in. I read an article about that in one flight magazine from Spain, Vueling. They had all these interesting articles, and one was about the Netherlands and the dikes, and how in 1950, when it broke the last time, so it was giving a history of when the sea broke in. Another thing, it will not never break in again. But only Krishna knows. We don't know. God forbid that breaks in, but we don't know. The sea is very strong. So the the loving and loving desire of the pure devotee who desires intimacy for Krishna, loving intimacy with Krishna, breaks in and finishes all the Aishwarya constraints. And this happened in the case of Yashoda Mayi. It happens in the case of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the best way of worship Krishna is to worship Krishna as the inhabitants of Vrindavan, particularly the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan, the gopis, worship Krishna with full intimacy, ready to give everything for Krishna, ready to go to hell for Krishna. They didn't care if they go to hell. If what pleases to Krishna sends them to hell, they will go anywhere for Krishna's pleasure. They will sacrifice anything for Krishna's pleasure. They will cut any relationships for Krishna's pleasure. They will suffer extreme agony for Krishna's pleasure. This is the gopis' feelings of love for Krishna. And this is described here as kevala. Kevala is unalloyed devotion. Unalloyed devotion, kevala means actually also means unity. But this kevala is different from the kevala or kaivalya experienced by the monist. There are many in India. It is very common monistic philosophy as propounded by Sri Shankaracharya, and therefore it became very popular in modern days by other modern representatives of Shankaracharya, such as Swami Vivekananda and others. They have propounded the philosophy of monism, the idea that we become one with God. This unity with God is explained in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in a very beautiful way. It is unity in love. It is not a unity where the personhood, the individuality is destroyed. But it is actually the personhood is, individuality is forgotten for the pleasure of the beloved. This is the idea. I forget about myself for the pleasure of the beloved. And the more this takes place, the more sweet it becomes. The greater is the degree of the intensity of that for absorption in the beloved with intimacy, the sweeter it becomes and the more pleasing it becomes for Krishna, for the Lord. And this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining in this section. It is a very intimate topic, and it is one of the beautiful aspects of Chaitanya Vaishnava theology. We don't find this, generally speaking, we don't find this in other theologies. But it is found in the theology and the praxis of this theology of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much for listening patiently. If you like to make comments or ask questions. How can Krishna feel? Yes, it appears to be. It is not that Krishna is like and sometimes he's referred to as a debauchee and as an exploiter sometimes, exploiter of women, like Krishna has so many girlfriends, so many women. So it appears to be he's an exploiter. And therefore in India, some moralists, they will not accept Krishna in Vrindavan. Anyone remembers the name of that moralist during the times of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Something Sen or De, typically a Bengali writer. It was not Tagore, but it was one. Anyway, I don't remember now the name, but it's a famous poet in Bengal. He wrote several books, and one particular book in which indicated that the Krishna of Kurukshetra, the Krishna of Bhagavad Gita, this is the real Krishna. But the Krishna of Vrindavan is mythical Krishna. It cannot be real. Because he... Yes, thank you. Bankim Chandra, yes, thank you. He was promoting that actually the Krishna of Vrindavan cannot be true because he's immoral. He's immoral. He is dancing with others' wives at night and having a party every night. And not only, it lasts, according to the Bhagavatam, it lasts a night of Brahma, a very long night. So he is immoral, therefore he should be rejected. But actually this is a limited understanding of morality, because it is actually, every woman belongs to Krishna. Every man belongs to Krishna also. So actually, the person who is immoral, from Krishna's point of view, is the person who thinks that she is my wife. You follow? He is God. Every soul, everything belongs to him. So we cannot say there is no question of immorality for Krishna. So, the idea is that the knowledge of the opulence of God, the knowledge of morality many times impedes the flow of love for God. Of course, we should be very careful not to misuse many materialistic people in the guise of spiritual teachers, of gurus. They have imitated Krishna, thinking that because Krishna does that, I can do the same. But actually, Srila Shukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam has said that we should not do that. We should not imitate the Ishvaras. If we imitate the great personalities like God and his representatives when they exhibit Lila, we will die in the same way that someone who tries to drink a little poison, a portion of the poison drunk by Lord Shiva, he drank an ocean of poison to save the universe. If an ordinary person tries to drink even a drop of that poison, that person will die. Similarly, if an ordinary person tries to imitate Krishna's Rasa Lila, he's doomed, he's finished. So therefore, we should be careful not to misapply the teachings of Scripture. Our duty is to follow the instructions of Krishna while in this world. And if we want to enter into intimacy with Krishna in sweetness, following the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, this is very much recommended. This is especially, it is an internal process. Of course, some external expression may be there. There is room for spontaneity. Sometimes we are too formal. Well, it's good. There is room for spontaneity in devotional expression. But keep in mind, when we still have a material body, we shouldn't artificially go beyond our realization. And especially when it can create disturbance for society. I went all over the place with your question, but did I answer your question? Yes, okay, thank you for bringing me back. So actually going back, so when the relationship, when Krishna exploits the gopis, or he leaves the gopis and leaves them suffering, actually he has not left them. He's never separated from them. He appears to be separated, but he's watching at them. And they are watching at him in their hearts, feeling extreme pain of separation. But that extreme pain, the spiritual pain, spiritual agony, is divine bliss. It's another flavor of divine bliss. It's like taking a feast. So when we take a feast, there is sweet is there, but there is also some bitter taste is there. And this increases the appetite for more sweet. In Bengal, for example, the tradition, they eat first the bitter to increase the appetite. The Gujaratis, I was eating in the family for a Gujarati devotee family, they mix the sweets. They were telling me, they take a little sweet, salty, and sweet, isn't it? It's like that, mixing. So it seems that Krishna likes to do that, to mix the sweet with the other flavors. And therefore sometimes he puts his devotees in so-called agony or distress. But the devotees in their hearts, they're experiencing happiness. Because when they remember Krishna with greatest intensity, they are actually experiencing Krishna even more. In separation, they experience Krishna even more, because Krishna is not different from his image in the heart of the devotee. Krishna is there. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Krishna left the gopis, they became mad. They couldn't remain alive. They were completely restless. They were in complete agony. But what did they do? They started to chant Krishna's names, Krishna's glories. And they started to imitate Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastimes. One gopi will play demoness putana. And she will come dressed as a princess to feed baby Krishna. Another gopi will play baby Krishna. And then she will suck the breast of the other gopi. You must be mad to do that, don't you? Okay, you can do a drama, but it was not drama, it was real experience. And by remembering Krishna's pastimes and enacting them, they were experiencing Krishna at every moment. So therefore their agony is bliss. It is like the beating of the heart. Separation, vipralamba, sambhoga, union. Separation from Krishna, union. And what Krishna does with this is increasing the love of the devotees. Because when there is separation, the devotee is more eager to meet Krishna again. And Krishna is having this exchange with the gopis. So Krishna is not torturing his devotees, but Krishna is giving them divine bliss in a different flavor or experience. Is that okay? Guru Padma Prabhu? Yes, Srila Prabhupada explained, you are very much right, Guru Padma Prabhu, that Srila Prabhupada said that we should worship the deity, even Sri Sri Radha Krishna Vigraha, with the mood of worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And how I understand it, I'm sharing my little realization on that. How I understand it is that we shouldn't artificially become intimate with Radha Krishna, like Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. I know we go in the altar and then I start coming close to Gopinath and take him by the shoulder like a friend. I'm Krishna Saka. Baba, I'm Krishna Saka. In India sometimes people may do that. Or thinking I'm a gopi and then I can have very intimate exchanges with Radha Krishna. In order to help us to establish that they are the divine couple, the divine masters. Master and mistress. But this is, how I understand it, this is like the Srimad Bhagavatam says that we should study Srimad Bhagavatam step by step, starting from the first canto up to the tenth canto and then to the twelfth. But the tenth canto is where Krishna's intimate pastimes are revealed. But we shouldn't jump to the Rasa Panchadhyaya, the five chapters describing Krishna's Rasa Lila artificially. First we need to read the rest of the Bhagavatam, where it is described the position, how Krishna is, the origin of all the Vishnus, the origin of all the avatars. There is a full canto describing the universal form, the second canto. Creation is described again and again. The universe, so many things of this world are described in relation to Krishna. So that when we come to the tenth canto, we don't think he is an ordinary mortal like I am, in an unconscious way. He's an ordinary soul like me. So the idea, and therefore, externally, the worship should be performed following the Pancharatrik Vidhi, according to rules and regulations. As the devotee progresses in his personal relationship with Sri Sri Radha Krishna, he may also see Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. He does not see Lakshmi Narayan, because this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. He sees Radha Krishna in Vrindavan as the Vaishnavacharyas teach us to see them. And we have many literature left by the six Goswamis, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, and great Vaishnavacharyas, showing us how to meditate on Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. But the process of worship, as Srila Prabhupada taught us, is performed according to Pancharatrik Vidhi, which is, it has this flavor of the think Radha Krishna as the Supreme Lord and His eternal consort. Is that okay? Yes. Yes, yes. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.